Today, I think we've got a pretty interesting question. Why can you remember details from a motorcycle trip from 10 years ago, but you can't remember what you did 3 Tuesdays ago? Think about that for a second. 3 Tuesdays ago is still pretty recent. You probably went to work, ran a few errands, maybe stopped for groceries on the way home. It wasn't wasted time, it was part of your life. Yet, most of it is already erased from your memory. Now, think about a motorcycle trip you took years ago. You can probably picture a stretch of road, a gas station somewhere in the middle of nowhere, the change in temperature as you climb over a mountain pass, a conversation with someone whose name you never learned. How is that possible? Why does one weekend stay with us for decades while ordinary life quietly fades away? Most riders think it's because motorcycles create unforgettable adventures. I don't think that's the whole story. I think motorcycles create something much more valuable, not memories, connection with people. Not just strangers we meet, an introduction to the person we're becoming. That's what we'll uncover today. Welcome back, Renegades, for another hangout. In our hangouts, we discuss stories from the saddle, motorcycling experiences, and biker-related topics.
Let's get to it.
If you're new here, welcome. Around here, we don't just ride. We go a little deeper. This is episode 3 of the Building a Biker series, where we're uncovering the hidden truths of motorcycle culture, one layer at a time. Episode 1 explored why complete strangers trust each other on motorcycles. Episode 2 showed us why riding alone doesn't actually feel lonely. We took a break from the series and looked at how motorcycles warp our sense of distance and the way our brains run on meaningful moments. Today, we're building on those ideas to answer another question that almost every rider has experienced, but very few have ever stopped to ask. Why do some motorcycle trips become part of us, while others quietly fade away? If you've been riding for any length of time, you've probably noticed something. Ask a rider about a memorable trip, and almost nobody starts with the route. They don't say, "We left at exactly 8:12. We averaged 63 miles an hour. We stopped every 147 miles for fuel." Nobody tells a story that way. Instead, we say, "You're never gonna believe what happened." That should tell us something. Somewhere along the way, the trip stopped being about an itinerary and became a story. An itinerary is about where you went. A story is about what changed your plan. That's why riders can spend hours talking about one afternoon from a week-long trip. The miles aren't the point anymore. The meaning is. The older I get, the less I remember the schedule. And the more I remember the interruptions. The unexpected stop. The wrong turn that somehow led to the best road of the trip. The little diner you'd never find on purpose. Those moments weren't in the plan. They became the reason the trip mattered. Maybe that's because motorcycles have a funny way of interrupting our routines. When you're riding, very little goes exactly the way you expect. Weather changes, roads close, plans shift. You end up somewhere you never intended to be. Looking back, those detours often become the destination. That reminds me of a trip with a stop in Jackson Hole, Wyoming. If you've ever been there, you know it's one giant tourist attraction. Our group did all the things you're supposed to do. We wandered through the shops, picked up a t-shirt at the Harley store, grabbed ice cream with everyone else, watched the stage gunfight in the middle of town. We finished the evening at the Million Dollar Cowboy Bar. The funny thing is, all of those aren't the details that stand out in my memory. What I do remember best happened while we were waiting for our food. I was taking a few pictures around the table when a woman seated at the next spot over smiled and asked if I'd like her to take a picture of our group. Most people would have just handed her their phone. Instead, I laughed and said, "I've already got enough pictures of this group. I'd rather have a picture with you." She stopped for a second, like she wasn't quite sure she'd heard me correctly. Then she laughed. We took the picture together and ended up talking for just a few minutes. She was traveling by herself and was meeting some friends the following day. We told her where we'd been riding. She asked where we were headed next. Nothing profound, nothing life-changing. Just people crossing paths for a few minutes in the middle of one of the busiest tourist towns in Wyoming. We didn't exchange contact information. I don't even remember her name. I've never seen her again, yet years later, when I think about Jackson Hole, I don't picture the gunfight. I don't think about the Harley store. I barely remember the food, which, if I'm being fair, probably deserves to stay forgotten. What I remember is her. For a few minutes, the attractions disappear. The crowds disappear. Two strangers simply made each other's day a little better. I've thought about that moment over the years, not because it was extraordinary. It raises an interesting question. Why do our brains hold on to moments like that, while quietly letting thousands of others drift away? Maybe remembering isn't just about what happened. Maybe it's about how deeply we experienced it. Researchers have spent decades trying to understand why some experiences stay with us while others disappear almost immediately. One discovery changed the way I think about every motorcycle trip I have ever taken. The brain isn't a video camera. It doesn't record everything. It's constantly asking one question: is it worth remembering? Most everyday life gets filed away as routine. Drive to work, answer a few emails, stop at the store to pick up something on the way home. There's nothing wrong with those moments. They just don't ask much of us. Then we leave on a motorcycle trip. Suddenly, nothing is routine anymore. The weather changes, the road changes, every fuel stop has the potential to become a story. Your brain starts paying attention, not because you're riding a motorcycle, because you're fully engaged with the world around you. Think about your favorite ride. Go ahead, think about it. What's the first thing that came to mind? It probably wasn't your average speed, or how many miles you covered before lunch. Odds are you remembered a person, a feeling, or maybe even a smell. That isn't a coincidence. Researchers call it richer encoding. The more senses and emotions that are involved in an experience, the more pathways your brain creates to find that memory later. You don't need a neuroscience degree to understand that. Every rider already knows. You feel that change in weather before it arrives. You notice fresh-cut hay in a farming valley, pine forests, hot desert pavement, ocean air. You're not just seeing the world. Motorcycles don't insulate us from the environment. They immerse us in it. That's part of what makes these memories different. That reminds me of a ride to the North California coast. A group of us had spent several days working our way toward Redwood National Park. One of the roads I'd been looking forward to most was Highway 199 from Gasquet to Crescent City. The road itself was everything I'd hoped it would be. Smooth, flowing, twisty. The kind of road where you stop thinking about riding and simply become part of it. As we started descending toward the coast, something changed. The temperature dropped almost instantly. The warm afternoon air gave way to a cool, damp breeze. Before I even saw the trees, I knew we'd entered a completely different world. Then it happened. I smelled the redwoods. I'd been wearing a neck gaiter all day to keep the sun off my face. Without even thinking about it, I reached up and pulled it down just so I could breathe it in. It wasn't just a scent drifting by. It filled the air around us. Fresh, earthy, ancient. The kind of smell that's almost impossible to describe unless you've stood beneath those trees yourself. The bike settled into an easy rhythm as the road wound deeper into the forest. Every curve seemed to invite us further beneath those towering giants. For a few minutes, I wasn't thinking about where we were headed. I wasn't thinking about how many miles we'd already ridden. I wasn't looking for the next photo opportunity. I was completely present. Then something unexpected happened. Without warning, I wasn't just riding through Northern California anymore. Part of me was a kid again. I watched Return of the Jedi more times than I can count growing up. Riding beneath those towering redwoods, I couldn't help but picture flying a speeder bike through the forests of Endor. I almost expected an Ewok to step out from behind one of those trees. Funny how our brains work. One scene, and suddenly I was a kid again. Years later, I couldn't tell you every town we rode through that week. I probably couldn't list every fuel stop. Yet, I can still close my eyes and smell those trees. Looking back, that's exactly what research is talking about. It wasn't the scenery alone that stayed with me. It was the cool air, the smell of the forest, the rhythm of the motorcycle, the curves of the road, the childhood memory that surfaced without warning. Every sense was involved. Every emotion was awake. No wonder that memory stayed. What's interesting is that I wasn't the only one. That evening, over dinner, none of us planned to talk about that stretch of road. Yet, one by one, we all did. Nobody suggested it. Nobody prompted it. We all experienced the same transition into those redwoods, and it became the conversation. Sometimes the strongest bond isn't created by what we say. Sometimes it's created by what we all experienced before anyone said a word. The people matter. The places matter. The experiences matter. But there's another piece of this puzzle that's even more surprising. Have you ever noticed that the stories writers tell over and over usually don't begin with, "Everything went exactly according to plan"? No. They usually begin with, "So, this one time?" Apparently, perfect days don't make the best stories. The difficult ones do. That seems completely backwards until you understand what your brain is doing. Before we get into that, let me just take a second to say thank you. If you're enjoying hanging out together and you'd like to help keep these rides and conversations going, consider sending a super thanks and buying a gallon of gas. Every bit of support helps this channel keep telling stories that celebrate the rides, the roads we travel, and the community we're building together. I genuinely appreciate it. Now, let's talk about why the rides that challenge us often become the ones we remember the most. Have you ever noticed something strange about the stories riders tell? Very few of them begin like this. Remember that ride where the weather was perfect, the traffic disappeared, the bike ran flawlessly, and absolutely nothing unexpected happened? Nobody tells that story. The stories that survive are different. They're the ones that begin with, "So, this one time," the storm, the wrong turn, the unexpected detour, the mechanical problem, the campsite that looked a lot better in daylight than it did after dark. Apparently, misery has excellent marketing. If you get enough riders around a campfire, it doesn't take long before someone starts laughing about a day that wasn't very funny while it was happening. That's another clue. Maybe we aren't remembering comfort. Maybe we're remembering growth. Researchers have found that emotionally intense experiences are far more likely to become long-term memories than routine ones. stress, surprise, relief, uncertainty. Your brain pays attention whenever it sees that something important is happening. In other words, difficulty gets promoted to permanent storage. That doesn't mean we enjoy being uncomfortable. It means discomfort has a way of demanding our full attention. Motorcycle travel creates those moments all the time. The weather changes, plans fall apart, someone points you toward a road you never planned to ride. Looking back, those interruptions become the parts we wouldn't trade for anything. That's a strange paradox. The moments we'd never schedule often become the moments we'd never give back. Think about your own favorite ride. I'll bet it wasn't perfect. There was probably at least one moment when you thought, well, this isn't going according to plan. Yet somehow, that's become the story you tell every chance you get. Hallmark has somehow missed this market completely. They keep printing cards that say, wishing you smooth roads ahead. Meanwhile, riders are out there saying, remember when everything fell apart? That was awesome. The more I think about it, the more I realize we've been asking the wrong question. We've been asking why motorcycle trips become core memories. Maybe the better question is, why doesn't the rest of our days? Think about an average week. Same alarm, same commute, same stoplight, same parking space. Same grocery store, same drive home. None of those moments are meaningful. They're simply familiar. Familiarity has a way of letting life slip quietly past us. Then we leave on a motorcycle trip. Suddenly, nothing feels automatic anymore. Autopilot disappears. Presence takes its place. That level of presence is becoming rare. Motorcycles didn't create it, they invite it. For a little while, we're fully engaged with the world around us. We're paying attention, not just to the road, to the people, to ourselves. That's when something else begins to happen. Maybe that's why motorcycles leave such a mark on us. They interrupt routines we didn't even realize we had fallen into. Researchers who study autobiographical memory have found that the stories we remember become part of the way we understand ourselves. They don't simply preserve our past, they shape our identity. When I first came across that idea, I couldn't help but think writers have been saying this for years. We just use different words. We just call them stories and repeat them over and over. They're the rides that quietly become part of who we are. That's why this conversation matters. Those interactions at gas stations, the unexpected kindness of strangers, the road recommendations, the weather delays, the laughter over dinner, the rider who waved, the waitress who treated you like family. None of those people knew they were becoming part of your story. Yet somehow they did. Without realizing it, they helped build you. That's the hidden truth of motorcycle culture. We tend to think motorcycles build confidence, freedom, adventure, independence. Those things are all true. But underneath all that, motorcycles quietly create the conditions where ordinary people become extraordinary memories. Those memories slowly shape our character. They teach patience when the weather refuses to cooperate, humility when the route falls apart, gratitude when someone offers help before you even ask, perspective when you realize every person you meet is carrying a story you'll never fully know. Maybe that's how a biker gets built. Not in a dealership, not in a showroom, not by buying the newest motorcycle, not by collecting patches, not by adding chrome. A biker gets built one conversation, one unexpected kindness, one challenge, one unforgettable ride at a time. That's why those trips stay with us. They're no longer just memories. They're part of who we've become. Remember the question we started with? Why can you remember a motorcycle trip from 10 years ago, but not what you did 3 Tuesdays ago? I think we finally found the answer. 3 Tuesdays ago, nothing interrupted the routine. Nothing demanded your full attention. Nothing changed your perspective. Motorcycle trips have a way of doing all three. That's why they stay. Now the question becomes, what are we supposed to do with those memories once we have them? When I asked you the 3 Tuesdays ago question, at first it sounds like a question about memory. It isn't. It's a question about living. 3 Tuesdays ago probably wasn't a bad day. It was probably just normal. Normal has a way of slipping quietly into the background. Motorcycle trips rarely do. Not because the motorcycle itself is special, not because the roads are always spectacular, not even because every trip becomes an adventure. Motorcycle trips stay with us because they ask us to become fully present. When that happens, the trip quietly becomes part of who we are. When you think back on your favorite ride, you're probably not remembering an itinerary. You're remembering the moments. It's the stranger who made you laugh at exactly the right moment. The smell of the redwoods, the mountain pass where the temperature suddenly dropped, the gas station conversation that somehow became one of the highlights of the entire trip. Those moments aren't connected by a map. They're connected by meaning. That's why they stay. If you've been following this series from the beginning, maybe you've noticed something. Each episode has been answering a different question. In the first episode, we discovered that bikers trust complete strangers in a way that doesn't make much sense until you've experienced it. In episode 2, we found that riding alone doesn't feel the way it seems to outsiders. Today, we're uncovering something that grows naturally out of both those ideas. Trust opens the door to new experiences. Solitude makes room for them. Those experiences become the stories that shape us, piece by piece. That's how a biker gets built. Not all at once, one ride at a time. Now, I'd love to hear from you. When you think about the one motorcycle trip you'll never forget, what's the first thing that comes to mind? Was it the road, a place, a smell, or was it a person? Share your story in the comments. Take a few minutes to read someone else's while you're there. One of my favorite things about this community is realizing how often a stranger's story reminds me of one of my own. Maybe that's just another hidden truth of motorcycle culture. Today's conversation really began long before the trip. It began with something much quieter. Learning to be comfortable with your own company. Learning to enjoy the road without needing a destination. Learning that being alone and being lonely are two very different things. That's exactly what we explored in the previous episode. If you've ever wondered why a solo ride can leave you feeling more connected to the world than an afternoon spent in a crowded room, that conversation lays the foundation for everything we talked about today. If you'd like to learn more about why riding alone doesn't actually feel lonely, stick around and hang out a while longer by clicking this video. If you'd rather get out there on the road, this video is for you. Remember, the roads will eventually fade from memory. The meaningful moments won't. They're building the biker you're becoming. I'll see you out on the road.